Yeah, everything's good. Okay, let's finish off Hilchos Shchenin in Elul with a few little shaylos. So let's finish off with the Vada Bais. Now, a person owns an apartment which is only 50 to 60 square meters. It's one of these extension apartments built on the roof, and they bring in a young couple. They move in 50, 60 meters. It's about half the size of a normal apartment. How much Vada Bais does he pay?
Does Vada Bais go over the side?
How much Vada Bais does he pay?
It is divided by number of people.
Number of apartments.
Sorry, number of apartments, not by the size of the families or the apartment.
Okay, so they're in a modern building that's been built in the last 10, 15 years. The Kablan has attached to it called a Takanon. And in the Takanon, it tells you exactly how much each individual member of the building should pay. And what does it say over there? Look at number one, Takanon, Dirin Mishutofim. It says, Rokhush Mishutaf. The areas which is joint ownership, the Goza Chelek for Rokhush Mishutaf, Lachol Dira, the amount you have ownership in those public joint areas, so every member of the building is mukhushaf lefi gozo hayichus sheyeshlo b'diroso b'yachas shahadios. The amount of ownership you have in those public areas is dependent on the size of your apartment relative to the other apartments in the building. Lekach, and similarly, chovoso gam kein. Not only ownership is bigger if you have a bigger apartment, but also your obligation to pay for the upkeep of the joint areas is also bigger. In the Meshutaf, the fee osa yichas, according to the same proportionate size, your apartment is relative to your neighbors. So the fee takanon, which everyone signed when they signed the contract of these apartments, it says you are obligating yourself by buying this apartment to take on the payments of all the needs of the Mishutaf areas, lefi your size.
But you're obligating yourself to the wrong party here. The Kablan is not a member of the Vaad or a member of the building. It doesn't matter what I promise him.
Yeah, he's signing a contract.
With him.
With him.
But he can't.
To obligate yourself to all the neighbors.
To what?
So there is, he's selling the Mukhush Mishutaf to you, and he's saying, I'm giving you ownership over here in the public areas. I, the Kablan, are giving you ownership in the public areas, on condition that when you take ownership in public areas, according to how big you are, you also take upon yourself, as part of the deal of buying those public areas to your own personal thing, to keep the public areas according to the Achuzim, the percentage of ownership you have over here. That's part of the sale contract. So therefore, it's definitely machayev, like every contract.
What does that mean, though, that your ownership in the Mishutaf area? What do I own? I get more of a vote because I have a bigger apartment? How is my ownership bigger than anybody else?
You physically own the area.
Meaning what? What's an afkim mean? Other than the chol?
The building, unfortunately, falls down.
Yeah.
And because of an earthquake, yes. Right. Now the land underneath.
Yeah.
Is joint ownership to everybody.
So I get a bigger piece of land?
Yes.
Okay.
If it's never rebuilt.
That's very interesting.
Okay, Mazel Tov. Okay. So, according to the contract that you signed when you buy an apartment, it says over there, I have ownership of the public areas, and I have obligations to upkeep those public areas, and how much ownership and obligations is depending on how big you are in relative to your neighbors. So if you are 240 meters, and your neighbors are 120, then you're going to have more ownership in the public areas, but you have more obligations and chiyuvim to pay in those public areas. You're going to have to pay double vada bais, whether it's because they're all the obvious neighbors. So our shayla, according to this, somebody who's moved into an apartment which is, let's say, only 50 square meters, well, a young couple, apartment was made on the roof, a young couple, 50 square meters, moved in, which is about half the size of the regular apartment in the building. How much vada bais is going to pay if everyone else is 100 meters and he's 50 meters? How much vada bais, according to this contract which you just said, the takanom should suffer? Well, how much does he pay?
Smaller amount.
He pays half the vada bais.
What are you saying? All the other apartments are 100 meters?
I'm saying, giving you dogma, so you example, so everything is easy figures. Okay. Yeah, we'll have to work it out. Obviously, we do that because it's not 100 meters. We're going to have to work out the percentage. Percentage of your size relative to his size is how much you're going to have to pay percentage wise to the upkeep of the common areas. Now, I have a question. The question is that. Are you know about that?
Well,
is that how you
room,
practice?
Zayirim can change the agreement wherever they
is
want.
Is that how you practice in your building? You say, well, let's measure your apartment, let's give you your contract out, see what it says in the Anona bill. What does it say over there? How big is it? Let's work it out. You're bigger than him. Yeah, do we say that?
No.
What do you say?
Well,
everyone's living here together as a happy family, so everyone should pay equally. Even though I'm bigger than you and you're smaller than me, we pay equally in vada bais. That's what he said. So like this takanon. How can it go against the takanon?
Because there is no such takanon in most buildings.
Oh.
And then the dayarim can agree whatever they want by themselves.
Bring me your contract.
What?
Bring me your contract.
I don't have a contract.
With your kablam.
I don't have a kablam. I bought it from someone else.
Oh. So you don't know.
What do you mean I don't know? I was never mekabel the kolos for the first.
You signed on the docket line when you went to the lawyer's office,
yes.
And you bought the contract, the apartment.
I bought the apartment. I didn't buy it with all the chiyuvim the apartment had.
Well, whoever bought it for the kablam.
Yes, he has the chiyuvim.
He has the chiyuvim.
Not
and
me.
What did he sell to you?
What?
What did he sell to you?
He sold me the apartment.
No.
Yes, he did.
He told you.
He did not sell me any obligations. He sold me the apartment.
What comes with the apartment?
A lot of soros, but he didn't sell me any kovos.
And part of the soros is paying vada bais. That is the obligation. And therefore, whatever his is, ownership and obligation.
But it doesn't matter because it's also the ownership are agreeing between themselves. They can change what they mind. It's irrelevant.
So according to Takanon, which is most modern buildings in the last 15 years, it says clearly you pay vada bais according to the size of your property. You're bigger, you pay more vada bais. You're smaller, you pay less vada bais. But we know that a lot of buildings don't work like that. Yeah. Everyone seems to pay equally, even though their size is different. What's that based on? So there's a Mishnah involvement here. It says like this. Number two in your Marmach. In Pekim Olamadah. Hasokha is a poem. Yahai workers. V'omenehem lahashkim laharit. And you say to the worker, he's been working for a week, and you say, hey, you've been coming late, and you've been leaving early. I want you to get up early and leave late. So the Mishnah says, Mokim Shnogan Shlo Lahashkim Velo Laharit. If it's a place where the worker doesn't have to get up early, he comes late, and he can leave early before it's night. You hired him, you didn't speak it out. You can't force him to do different from the Mokim, because the Minag is Machayim. You hired him, you're out spelling it out. This is the condition. The Nechirim of that contract is based on the Minag. And the Minag in this place is workers go late and they leave early. So you can't force them. You can't suddenly say after the first week, hey, I want you to get up early and leave late.
So somewhere where you said it after.
Yes. And Mokim Shernobyl is on, and if you have to give food with the job, you have to give them food. Hakolka Minag Medina, whatever the Minag Medina is, the Chayiv, you don't speak out conditions. So there's a concept in Halacha that says, Hakolka Minag Medina. Minag is Machayiv you, and trumps Torah perspectives and obligations. Minag If this is the minhag of this mokum, it's like an unspoken condition, and you're obligated according to this condition unless you speak out clearly connected.
Well, here it's not something that's worrying.
Yeah.
But what the Baal Bayit is asking for is not a condition. The Baal Bayit is asking for not
So you're saying a good thing. The Gemara in Yerushalmi says, and even if it's Shlach the Torah, the Minhag is Kaveh. Minhag Kaveh, the Gemara on this, the Gemara Yerushalmi on this Mishnah says, a Finnish that even if it would go against a specific halacha status in what the Torah gives you rights, but the Minhag is not to practice like that. The Mominus, then you don't have to follow it. Why? Because cold Tanai Shmolom and Kite. Where as long as you're not being oka up, it's suing in the Torah. And the Torah just gives you certain months, she writes, for example, a classic example of this, is I'm asking you to look after my item. For free. What are you called? Jonathan. What's your obligation according to Torah? Monetary obligation in respect to this item? No, not going to be over. For free. Only for negligence. If you're negligent, yeah. Now, if at the time I speak out to you and say, I want you to look this out after, for free. But on condition that you take responsibility, not just for negligence, which is what the Torah expects you, but you take on responsibility also for Geneva Reza. Does it work, such a condition? I go against the Torah? No, because Rabbi Yehuda says, call tonight for a long time, if it's not intending to do it soon, it's just saying, we want you to take on more monthly obligations, and I make a decision tonight. You agree? Okay, you can change. You can change the actual contract of the Torah. You can change the contract. Both beneficial and detrimental. The other way around, if you're shul and you're trying to say, I'm not chayav an onsin for, I'm only chayav for negligence, you can also do that. Yeah. So what does Minhag Medina do? Minhag Medina is an unspoken Tanai, understood that this is a Tanai that we're actually speaking out, and therefore it can go even against the Manchu set up, even as the Torah says, in a certain way. This is how the monetary relationship is according to the Torah. But if the minhag is to practice not like that, then basically he's saying we're making conditions that you take on these certain monetary obligations. Now, so therefore, just as you can obviously go against, if you can go against what the Torah says monetary you deserve, because the minhag and because the practice is not to do like that, because it's an unclean Sinai, then of course Kal Vachomer it can go against the Takanon. The Takanon says over here that you're entitled to charge by the bias according to the size of your apartments. The bigger you are, you pay more. But if the minhag of this particular area is to ignore such a takanon and to practice in this area that we all pay equally, it doesn't matter how big we are, so therefore when you're moving in, you're basically saying, and Titan is saying that we are coming into this partnership based on the minhag.
The problem with that is that the takanon is a spoken out lie.
Okay. Well, the fact that
now the fact that people disregard it makes it a worthless command.
Okay.
But it's still a spoken out command.
We'll discuss that later on. Yeah? Okay. So, Mimela, there are two minhagim around, and there's a difference between B'nai B'rat and Yerushalayim in this notion. In B'nai B'rat, they have the minhag of everybody paying equally. Doesn't matter what size you are. So therefore, if you're a 50-meter apartment, half the size of every other apartment, then you're going to have to pay
same
as everyone. In Yerushalayim, the minhag is to just takanon.
Really?
Yes.
What?
The minhag is to go lefi takanon. Which is?
Yeah,
Bnei Brak, they've been practicing for the last how many years not to do this, so therefore that the minhag got to do takanon. We'll discuss how, because there's actually a sit show over there, how that works, okay. But, yeah, in B'nai B'rat, they practice, everyone pays equal. Yerushalayim, actually the practice is to be the size of your apartment. Okay. So therefore, a 50 meter apartment, square meter apartment, would not have to pay the whole Vadabayas in Yerushalayim. You don't have to pay half the Vadabayas in Yerushalayim. Masha again in Bnei Brak. You would have to pay the whole share like everybody else. That's what it should come out. So now let me introduce you a dinter. A person from Bnei Brak. Bought an apartment, decided he's going to move to Yerushalayim, Malim the Kedusha. And he buys an apartment in Yerushalayim. What type of apartment? Yerushalayim is more expensive than Bnei Brak, and therefore he cannot have it. He's getting old, he buys a small one of these 50 meter apartments. That's good enough for him and his wife. But now, the Vadabas comes around and says, hey, you're from Bnei Brak. Yes? You need to pay Vadabas. So he says, yeah, okay, I pay Vadabas. How much do I have to pay? You're going to have to pay this amount. Like all of us. Hey, what's going on over here? I heard that in Yerushalayim, they go according to size. And I'm smaller than you. I pay less. So they said, but you're from Bnei Brak. And in Bnei Brak, they go according to, doesn't matter who you are, you pay the same. Yeah, okay. So the captain says, so, does he have to pay full Vadabas like Bnei Brak? Or like, Yerushalayim only pay half Vadabas?
Obviously, there's something here that we're not getting called because otherwise it'd be pleasant.
So, it's false. Yeah, you say, get it out of Yerushalayim. So the Din Torah starts like this.
Where is the Din Torah?
It's in Yerushalayim. That's where they live. Everyone lives in Yerushalayim. Of course. Yeah. So the Din Torah starts like this. Goes past the the lawyer, who happens to be one of the members of the building, who's representing the building, Vadabas, turns to the new member from Bnei Brak and says, when you moved here to Yerushalayim, did you know anything about the minhag of Yerushalayim? Did you know? He said, no, I didn't know. Fuck, I didn't know. I only found out after I was here already. So, if so, you came al das to pay like you've been paying up now, like the minhag of Bnei Brak. Equally, you took the obligation of paying equally.
And I came from America where there is no
bad bias. So therefore, since you didn't know, and you came in understanding that you were from the neighbor up, that you just pay equally, so you obligated yourself to pay equally. Is that acceptable stuff?
No.
Why?
Because it's
funny.
I also think no, but for a different reason. Because the other Dayarim are already mechuyev, and the percentage is there mechuyev. So the only part that's left is what he could possibly mechuyev in. And he's not going to be more mechuyev than what his berated amount is. The other part is
Vadabas is always happy to have more money. They're always short of money.
I know, but nobody offered them that. The fact that he came in not realizing they're already mechuyev doesn't
change. If they have a shortfall, according to your story, if they got taka a shortfall, then
it doesn't matter what the dollar amount or the shekel amount is. They're already mechuyev on their percentage.
No, we've got now
apartment number one.
We've got new apartments in the building, yeah. And then you're going to, if you build a new apartment, then the guy who comes in doesn't have to pay Vadabas because they're already covered. And the Reddit decided that 12 zeros paying is good enough. Doesn't make sense. The added apartment. Now, my main question after this, okay, you're saying, of course, it doesn't make sense. So he did tell. Okay. My question about this, which was asked the Mincha Zitzchak.
I actually think I'll ask it a good time. But I still don't think.
Okay, the Mincha Zitzchak was asked this question.
Who?
Mincha Zitzchak. I bet the Mincha Zitzchak said it was the Truma Sedeshin was asked this question. Originally. Advice. I'm based in Manchester, then he moved to
the Gaivet
in the New Slide. Where's the Munkah? Okay? Now. So, the question is like this. how can any of these have, if you don't know there's a minhag, okay, and you move in, you don't know there's any minhag over here. So what do you expect to do? If you don't know there's a minhag, so what do you expect to do? So forget about the neighbor.
You expect to find out what the minhag is.
The neighbor,
yeah.
Knows me. What do you expect to do?
If I'm going to China, I better know in advance what they do in China.
So let me ask the question in a very sharp way. Yeah? You know that there's possibility of minhag.
There's what?
There's possibilities of minhag being applicable in this area. And there's possibility of what the Torah tells you what you should ideally do. And you move into now an apartment in an area where everyone is religious. What do you expect everyone should be doing? What
do you expect? Medina.
What?
Minhag Medina.
If there's a Torah Mahalach how to treat the situation, and a minhag that people practice based on people just practicing, not on, what do you expect to do?
Minhag Medina. In fact,
if I'm religious and you're all religious, what do you expect to do? I'm religious, you're all religious, there's two malachites out there called a, what the Torah suggests you
I would
do.
Expect
you and I mean like what people invented and practicing. What do you expect
there's
to do?
Nothing wrong with what they invented and practiced. Other masters and gospel for Torah. I would expect them to go like the minhag.
Fine, but what would you expect that...
I would expect them to go like the minhag.
Expect to go like Allah. Okay, that's the answer I want.
Well, I want
the Shubha Sedeshim has asked this question. Shubha Sedeshim has asked this question. Why should I obligate myself in a minhag which is made up by B'nai Otam, when there's also a Torah suggestion? If we're all religious, then everyone should go with the Torah. Obviously, the Torah knows what it's doing, better than I and the other people. So the Torah suggestion is the question, why would anyone look at himself in the minhag if there's also a Torah way of understanding things? This is basically your first question. If there's a, in the shirin, there's a Torah suggestion of how things should work out, why should the minhag trump it? It can if you speak it out, but why should I choose this if I'm religious? So the Torah suggestion gives this answer. Kol dover shirabim mesufim yachad.
Shirabim what?
Mesufim yachad. Anything where there's a group of people coming together, shirichan lemizor bosam minhag, though they have to go after minhag. Whatever is necessary that's needed for their needs. The Imasaka say the middle boss is in Torah. Because if you say under all circumstances to go after the Torah suggestion, it'll create a lot of machlokas under a lot of circumstances. Why? Why would it create a lot of machlokas? Because let me give you an example of Vadabas. What do we say the Torah's classic understanding how much Vadabas you should pay? Without Minag and Sakanan, what does the Torah suggest how much you should pay? Yes, how much benefit you get, how much use. You live on the fourth floor, you use the lift more. But on the other hand, you only got two children, and the guy on the third floor's got 10 children, so therefore we have to work out that he uses the lift and how much you use. And now you've had the mazel tov, you had the third child, and therefore your payment now has to go up. It'll be absolutely crazy way of working and living together because it'll just be too complicated. Under those circumstances where it's too complicated to follow the natural advice of what the Torah suggests is the way you have to do this. If there's a minhag way, then the person is going to say, simple, easy, no machlokas, minhag. And that's why the minhag is chosen over the Torah suggestion, because it's in certain circumstances, it's more practical. Yes. Stop machlokas. So let's get back to our dinner. So what does he suggest? A broke svar, a good svar, but a kind on it. What? Yeah. What is it? He said, you never knew. You thought you're coming from B'nai Barak. Yeah. So you have to pay the whole amount. That's what they do in B'nai Barak. Now. Yeah. Okay. So let me introduce you now to a new dinner, which you'll understand more, which is similar to this. It's the same side. What's the new dinner? That's it, right? It comes up in based on the lot of this. I live in America. I want to buy an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. I don't. Why? Investments. Okay. Best real estate in the world, because you know it's going to be around when the ship is here. Okay. So now, you've thrown up the agents in the inn, etc. You say, look, I'm looking for an apartment to buy. Can you find one for investment? Yes. I don't even need to see it. Send me pictures. Tell me the price. I'll work it out. The areas. I know everything. Yeah. And they find him an apartment. Okay. Then they send him a bill. What does it say in America? Oh, bill. Yeah?
Yeah, bill.
A bill, okay. The agent sent the bill for the services provided. Now, he's shocked and astonished. Why is he shocked and astonished when he sees a bill payment from an agent? Why is he shocked and astonished? What? Agents are paid by the seller. In America and England, the agent only takes his agent fees from the seller, not from the buyer. They take a little percent between 2% and 4%. Yeah. Okay. So he's actually as shocked and astonished. You come to me, I said, but I don't pay agent fees. So he says, this is Edison. And Edison, agents take fees from both sides. You pay. So I understood. But the minna is like this. I never knew the minna.
Doesn't matter. You're going to do business somewhere.
So does it matter whether you know the minna or not? So would you say the same thing over there? Ah, of course he has to pay. Would you say, well, I hear this a bit more. It's a different type of scenario.
Doesn't matter. In the United States,
doesn't
matter how many services.
So let's see a Shulchan Aruch and the Mefarshim there and tell me whether it's comparable to what the Shulchan Aruch and the Mefarshim say. Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Mem Beis says Vav like this. Number 4. Loshen Sheregilim Litzof Bishtar. A line which is practice normal to have in your document. Even though this line wasn't introduced by Chazal, it was just practiced by the and Loshen should go ahead and lift up a rock on the. That's how they write over there. Holchem acharav. Of course, we go after. I feel alone listen. Even if this document, it wasn't written this line. The inon ki inon nichtav. We look at it as if it was written. Okay, so far what it's saying, the minhag is to have this line in this document, even if it wasn't there, it's ke'ilu there, and you have to follow it.
Okay. What are you supposed to do if you want to adopt and leave it out?
Yeah, you have to speak it out. You have to write not to have it. I'm not having it. Yeah. So the smart and shah have an argument over here. What's the reasoning? Why, if it's not written, you're obligated? Says the smart. Hatab, the given to Regin Litzavke, call a Makabal Stam, Adas Hanoid Makabal. Since it's normal to be written there, anybody who does such a contract understands there's a minog that may be around, and he's going to accept all the minog. But Havile Tanai, based on the Sorok, the Kaimel Kofonim, it's a Tanai based, like a Tanai based, and you have to do it. Very good. So, very good. So what's he's saying over here, the Shema? So I says, I'm talking about a situation. This is the acronym, explain out what the smart is talking about. So I'm talking about the guy doesn't know what the line is. He's never been, he doesn't know that there is a line. But since he's entering into a business contract, contract with somebody, and there's such a thing as minhagim in the world, then he knows there's minhagim in the world. So therefore, you sign on a contract, so you're obligating yourself, whatever the minhagim is, even if you don't know what the minhag, whatever it is, I'm obligating myself. That's like it's saying, it's like it's my business. You don't know the chalal what it is, or is even existed, but since there is, you know there's such a thing as a minhag. You're obligating yourself in it, like a fly-based thing, machad, you don't know that it was in existence even. But the Shah says difference. The Shah reads this often. He says, Pirish, Mishum desama hoyadata shiyiftake. If it's left out, you're obligated to fulfill it, because we assume it was a mistake. You assume that you wanted to write it, and it was a mistake of the sofa. He just stepped out. You assume you wanted it. The one who signed the contract. Pisa mashma peshitas, says the Shach. If so, that's clear to me. That's only we can assume that you meant to have it there and just made a mistake by not writing it. We knew that there was such a line in the first place. Avim lo yodam is there. But if you didn't know about it, Avim should know their head is getting, even though that's a minnah, Aim Dino Sokelo in Nixav, you're not obligated to keep it. It was missed out. If it's missed out, and you didn't know that there was such a minhag in the first place, you're not obligated to keep it, because the only reason why minhag is mafayv you is because we assume you want to do the minhag. If you don't know about it, then obviously, how can you say I obligate myself to it if you never knew it existed? It comes out that big mark looks to the shark and stuff.
No,
in a case where you don't know there's a minhag at all, you don't know there's a minhag, what the minhag says, according to the Svara, that doesn't matter, you don't know there's a minhag, there's a possibility of a minhag, you're obligated. According to the shark, no, the whole concept of minhag is because I agree. What, if I never knew, how can you say I agree?
They're not talking about minhag makom there. Minhag makom is applicable whether it's written or not.
No,
it's talking about whether it's considered as if it's written.
No, it's minhag makom for this contract to have this thing.
For the contract, not to actually carry it out.
And therefore all the deals have this.
Lavdavka.
And all the deals have this. But I never knew it existed.
Because I can't be expected to read your line, know what's written in contract. You gave me a contract, this is the term. I have a right to assume that it's a complete term.
No, not like the dawn doesn't learn like you, the seamless doesn't learn like you. It compares to all minhag. So it comes out, according to this, if you don't know there's a minhag, does the minhag obligate you? The answer is, machlokas. Sma says, it does. And the shach says not, because it only obligates me because I agree to it. So I don't know about it. How do you say I agree?
That's if you live there, but if it's another country, how can you claim, I don't know the minhag and therefore I don't have to accept it by myself?
So what do you mean, Dad? You're saying good. Figure out louder and clearer. Yeah, you're saying good, Dad.
Yeah.
No. So what are you saying?
I'll leave it. Yeah. Oh, when you're dealing with another country, another place, it's all das, the minhag of the other place. It's up to you to learn.
So how do you fit that into the shach then? So how are you explaining the shach? The shach says, don't about it. You're not obligated. You're saying, no, the shach would agree in a different country. Why?
Because this is when you're in the when both parties are in the same place, and live in the same place.
What's the difference? They place or they're not attached to different country.
But it's reasonable that you don't know. It's not reasonable that you don't know. If you're going somewhere else, you obviously have to find out what's going on. If it's something that's so certain amount of normality in the place you are, and it's reasonable that you don't know, there's a different circumstance. For example, you're going and buying a house, and there's some sort of line that the lawyers know that's supposed to be in there, the ordinary person wouldn't know it's supposed to be in there.
Okay, very good. And if it's supposed to know, and you don't know, so how can you obligate him? If the whole logic behind it is that, why am I chayv in minhag? It's because I agreed, but I don't know. Okay, I'm a oris. I totally put my head in the sand. I don't know something which everybody knows. Fine, but I don't know.
The question
so how am I
is
chayv?
Whether it's incumbent upon you to find out. My minhag of what's going on, that's incumbent upon you to find out. For me to assume you didn't put something in the contract that normally goes there, that's not incumbent upon
you. Saying good,
but
you have to say more. Saying good, but you have to say more. So, the more that I'm looking for is like this. Gedolei HaPoskim HaChlonim say like this. You can't take the shach all the way. The shach is talking about a scenario where he doesn't know there's a minhag. And he not only doesn't know it's a minhag, he doesn't expect there to be a minhag. And there happens to be a minhag. Oh, okay, you can't obligate. But if he doesn't know the actual fine details of the minhag, but it's normal to have minhagim going on, even though I don't know what that minhagim is telling you, I know it's normal in this type of industry and business that there are different minhagim in different places and different things. Then when you sign on the dotted line, even the shach will agree that even though you didn't know what the actual minhag says, but since you know there's different minhag impossible, you're obligating yourself in the minhag, even according to the shach. So coming back to our dinto with the agency, and then we'll go back to our dinto with the bias. The guy lives in America, buys the apartment in the area himself, suddenly gets the bill from the agent. He said, hey, what are you telling me? We don't build buyers, you only buy and build sellers. That's what we do in America. He said, we're not in America. We're in the area itself. Midnight gets sold, get agent sold. But I didn't know. Didn't know, is that a way of releasing himself from pain? Because he can say, give me like the shark. Like the shark says, if you don't know, you're not behind. Can you say that under those circumstances?
Is this a microphone?
This is a microphone.
So there's one thing I don't understand. I mean, the amount they pay the broker is usually a negotiated price. They had to tell them up front, this is what we pay. How much did they charge him? How do they know how much to send him a bill for?
Maybe he's bought apartments in the past.
Well, how do they know how much to send him a bill for?
I'm giving you the standard rate, even the lowest standard rate. Okay, that's not a problem. Okay, not 2%, 1% I'll charge you. No, but you
usually there's a discussion with
okay, that. Okay, not necessary. Many agencies, many agents don't discuss anything,
really?
Let them sign up.
Really?
Because they're putting themselves into danger of getting their fees in the first place, and they don't sign up. But exactly the law says you need to sign them up. He's putting himself, he's not protecting himself, his needs. He's doing work for somebody without having protection for his... Yeah, because he doesn't sign him up. Yeah, which is a dangerous thing for him. It's not a terrible thing for him. And it leads to machlokas. Why not have everything up front? That's why. Have everything up front, so it's clear. Why lead to a situation where there's machlokas? Okay. So now, as Eric said, it's not acceptable for the person in America to say, I'm not paying agent fees because I didn't know. Because everybody knows in commerce that there's different minhag in different countries. Okay, you didn't know that the minhag is for the buyer to pay, and the seller not as well as the seller. Okay, and yours is different. But when you agree to employ somebody, you're employing him based on the minhagim, as the Mishnah says. I don't know the fine details of the minhagim, but you know it's possible to have minhagim in such an employment. So therefore, even the shach would agree to mokoy to follow the minhag, and therefore you have to pay. He does have to pay. So the top dollar was 2%, because he didn't speak it out. Like you said, the minimal going rate, if that's 0.75% or 0.5%, depends on the areas you're talking about. Okay. Now, let's get back to our Vada Bais. Vada Bais, the guy from Bnei Brak, says, I never knew there was a minhag in Yerushalayim. Hey, I agree. I never knew there was a minhag in Yerushalayim that you pay according to the size of your apartment. So therefore the Bava Baisa tries to say, therefore, since you never knew, then the minhag of Yerushalayim doesn't obligate you. So what should obligate you?
The Torah.
The Torah. So he says, yeah, you can't obligate me according to the Bnei Barak. You can only obligate me according to the Torah. If there's no minhag, what's default? Torah. So therefore you have to do this complicated method. You can't do according to Bnei Barak, which you have to pay equally, just so, even though I'm a small brother. Yeah. Do we have the shock in that case? Do we have the shock in that case?
We were in the reverse direction.
Yeah. What's the shock say? You didn't know? Doesn't obligate.
You said that the Achronim had on differently. You said the Achronim had on that he didn't expect it in the minute, but he knows it's a minhag of faith.
I tell you, did you know that there's a minhag in Yerushalayim to pay according to size? Did you know there's different minhag in different areas?
We're talking about non-obligation.
For Vada Bias? Did you know that in Vada Bias there was different minhag?
You know there's some minhag.
Did you know that there's any other method of paying Vada Bias rather than the one that you yourself have been practicing, which is everybody in the building pays equally, doesn't matter what size you are? Did you know there's something else existed? Or expect something else existed? You did?
Never heard of that.
Well, some places
they
look different. People who don't use the building at all, but still connected to the building.
That's all called a minhag, okay. I'm not part of the partnership in the first place. When I'm part of the partnership and I have to pay Vada Bias, did I expect that Vada Bias would be dished out in a different fashion, how which was practiced, which is everyone pays equal? Did I know there's such a thing as other minhag? What? Of course not. Shach has to be talking about some case. Of course, every case there is. Yeah. So it's rude to say, in Vada Bias, that the shach would actually will apply. If it will apply,
the first direction here.
What that would mean, if it would apply, then the minhag of Yerushalayim will not obligate you because you didn't expect it. And since you didn't expect it, then you'll fall back onto Torah. Perspective of how much you have to
but
pay.
They're not asking to go by minhag Yerushalayim.
Right,
they're
asking to go by minhag Bnei Brak. But we would have basically have to decide, well, how much you have to pay.
Minhag
Yerushalayim doesn't obligate you. Why? Because for the shah, which says that you don't pay.
No, because we know this minhag.
But we don't know.
The guy.
Like I said, in Vada Bais, you didn't expect any other.
What? You had no right to expect it.
No, I have no reason to expect the other.
Why? Everybody has minhag. Vada Bais is something.
I told you, Vada Bais is a type of relationship where I just throw out the question to you yourselves, but you don't expect there's differences in the other places.
Different amounts, though. Every building has a different
amount. Fine, but the ratio of how to work it out is that you pay the same amount, and you say, whatever the amount is, 100, 200, 300 shekels, whatever it is, you can not expect that you're going to have differences, and because I'm bigger and you're smaller, you have differences.
If you say that you know that there's a minhag, it's different from the din Torah.
Because the minhag was chosen because it's a much very easy way of running things.
That's not easy way.
Yeah.
There's another easy way.
So I expect there to be other.
Why not? I
agree with Eric. Just because you think what happens in Bnei Brak happens everywhere, it's not Brooklyn.
What gives you the right to assume that no one goes to Din Torah? What gives you the right to assume that no one anywhere goes?
In Vada Bais, for sure, I have that right. As the Torah suggestion puts it out, because it's too complicated. Yeah, too complicated.
I'm sure if you go to a Yekka building, they go then.
No, you won't find such a question. Anyway, you won't find that. I assure you, there's no question about the Torah's Mahal. Suggestion. Yeah, okay. Let us ask a bigger question than this. And then we don't have to be arguing about this small detail again. The bigger question is like this. Go back to the original question. Is, at the end of the day, what does it say in the contract? In Yerushalayim.
It goes according to size.
nothing to do with minhag, anything. It's written in the black and white, in the contract which you signed, which the lawyers gave. It says the takanon. What's the takanon say? The takanon says, according to the size you pay. According to the size you pay. That's what it says, black and white. Forget really about minhag. Well, I don't know about it. It says in I signed, and this is what the parliamentary is saying, according to the size. So how can you ignore the takanon? How can you ignore it? It says according to the size. How can you make me pay differently from what is actually written in the contract? That's what's signed in the black and white. Dotted line.
But the minhag is to ignore the takanon.
So there is a svara. No. There is a svara.
But they back the minhag to ignore the takanon.
There is a svara from Naftali Nussbaum. Wants to use this svara. But Naftali Nussbaum, one of the Choshe Dayan in Yerushalayim, wants to use this svara based on the note of Yehuda. And he says that he, this is, he gets upon the computer. Let's see what it says. Ba'ata nidaba be'inin achirin v'ashruah, sheniska b'tanoim. Note the Yehuda was worried that when you get a shidduch, you write tanoim, conditions that each one has to do to the other side, the chosin side, the kalim side. And it says over there, shekib lo hastadim v'oma ani, she'ein kan lo chirin lo shruah. Yeah, they recover themselves with a cheirin and shvur that they have to keep these tanoim. These conditions, they have to do it with a shvur. So you made a shvur. You can't back out. It's a shvur. You wrote the sentence. You're doing with shvur. But Omar Ani says the note of Yehuda. She ain't kan lo cheirin lo shvur. What are you saying? Called Nidre. Ain't kan lo cheirin lo shvur. You wrote it. You wrote it. No, ain't done lo cherem velo shur. Why? Shadovazeh yudua v'yedu anemon. It's known and it's public knowledge and everyone says it. Shadovazeh musach d'shtah. It's just a loshen. It's words which don't mean anything. It never meant and never intended. No one ever expects it to make a shur on the cherem. It's just a way of expression. I mean it. That's all it means. Again, it's just what it's normal to write, and it's just you print it out of the computer. That's all it is. The computer has nothing to do with the person who signs it. Says Rav Naftali Nussbaum. Therefore, when it comes to the takanon, and he says that the vada bias in the takanon says has to pay according to your size of your apartment. He says she'ein chasima achazor mechayeves betakanon. Your signature on the contract does not obligate yourself to keep the takanon. Because every person who's religious, look at the takanon. Like the note of Yehuda's, there's a computer thing that you need to have, which I don't mean to do. And they have no intention to be obligated in it. They didn't have another merechet.
What?
That has a certain obligation. Here they have. Why should they machive themselves in this? And they got another way of understanding it.
The same way. They both have the same way. Vinegar Medina.
They have the same to the Medina.
I mean, the stars of the Medina.
Yeah. Now, this is what Naftali Nussbaum said, but it's not Mukubal. Not Mukubal, and the reason is very poshut. There's a big difference, and I want you to think about it for a second before I tell you, and this is where we'll finish tonight. There's a big difference from the case of the note of Yehuda, where there's Ein Kan Lo Cherem Velo Shvur, that's annoying. And the case of takanon in your buildings. And Moses may have touched on this case. And if you can't compare the two, and the vada the takanon to machayev, you sign it, unless you make other agreements in. Why? What's the logical chilek that you say? No! Yes.
was out of Hergale, Muad Hak, the stars of the Sophie writing. It's a special Russian script for only body body.
Well, I, more than that, very good, it's very good. Just on a little pretense. It's written, for what reasoning was it written?
It's specifically for that kind of relationship.
Yeah, but so it's written in order to tell you, look, there's lots of situations that come up between the relationships between you and your neighbors. That you will know what to do. We're going to give you a whole list of rules over here called takanon. So therefore, let's be clear-cut and nothing to discuss. Is written for you to actually practice. Because if you don't practice it, you'll be in hot water, like the Shulman Sedesh said in the beginning. If you don't have any method of dealing with things, then you just have machlokas and mariva the whole time. The sakadon is there and created to actually use. Because if you're out of it, you're in terrible water called Shalom Bayis problems. Masha ain't came the note of Yehuda. It's tanoim you're making, yes, I'm going to do this. And you know, hey, I'm through if I don't. Yeah, that's just to give Hegesh that we mean it. It doesn't mean actually Machai the self control, it's not necessary to the shul, we're at the shul, as long as I do it. Yeah, I mean to do it. That's all it means. So therefore there's a big difference, and therefore most of the Dayanim actually Machai you in Takanon unless you practice clearly otherwise. So therefore at the end of the Din Torah, as we discussed in the Bata Bais, since it doesn't matter you didn't know the minhag, it doesn't matter that there's a shach out there that says you're not machayev in the minhag, even if it's applicable, which I want to argue with it. But at the end of the day, in Yerushalayim, there's a takanon, which is science. And what does the takanon say? And what's it actually saying over there in the takanon? That you pay according to size. So therefore, Mr. Shimon, who comes from B'nai Barak, you've got 50 meter bum, do you have to pay full by the bias? The answer is no. No. You don't have to pay more buyers. The Din Torah didn't stop there. We'll finish off next week. I'll just tell you what they did. What they did is that they had a Vada bias meeting. And they made a vote of how we're going to pay. After the stock came out, that you only have to pay half. They had a Vada bias meeting. And they said, how are we going to pay? And they had a vote. We're paying everybody equally. Pull up your hands who want to pay equally. Majority of them put up their hand to say we want to pay equally. Minority said we don't.
Majority rules in that case.
So, if the question is, does that now change the pesach? Pesach came out before the Vada Bais meeting that you pay according to size. But now they had the Vada Bais meeting and say we are going to be noeg. Everyone equally. Majority said yes. Is that Machayev? And that's next week.